Welcome to Why Short Stories, Episode 6. I am Ian Timothy. You can find me at iantimothy.com and blog iantimothy.com. This episode introduces you to Lisa Whitehead, the author of the best-selling book Get a Life, The Guidebook. I interview Lisa on the subject of writing, her approaches to ideas, inspirations, and technique. The recording was made on the 2nd of November 2014 after a busy weekend at the Lincolnshire Showground. I'm fortunate enough to be with Lisa Whitehead, who's written a really well-known, popular book called Get a Life. And it's a guidebook, and I've read it. It's very, very interesting. And for me, it's inspiring. I find some of the things inspiring. And it's a unique book for me in the fact that you can literally open any page and you can take something from it. And that's the majesty and the magic of a properly written book. And I'm going to ask Lisa some questions about how she writes, why she writes, and the benefit of writing to herself. And then we're going to talk a little about the book itself. Lisa is a person not only who's an incredible writer, but I was fortunate, and she didn't know it, to sit at the back of one of her talks quite recently, which is why I'm sitting in front of her now, because I have to say that I found it truly inspiring. And it left me, and left somebody who sat next to me, a total stranger, in a conversation of how powerful a person can become by using clear thought, integrity, truth, and honesty. So, Lisa Whitehead, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, when you write, do you feel that you get more than a benefit of the actual writing? Does it help you in your day-to-day life? Does it guide you? Does it reveal your inner being?
I would say it absolutely does, because I think, just like a teacher, they sometimes teach most what they need to learn. When you write, well, when I write, first and foremost, I write for myself, and that's not selfish. It's actually selfish to be selfless. I write for myself in terms of my musings, and it's almost an external expression of what's going on inside me or inside my head, or the things that I've been stimulated to think about and then put pen to paper or type on the keyboard. And so, yes, by working that through, by processing those thoughts and where it takes me, then I find that very cathartic. My intent for it is that it will help other people, because it's a little bit like if you sat in a classroom and you're thinking of a question, you can guarantee that there's several people in the same room thinking of the same questions but not necessarily going to ask them. So I guess I ask those questions on everybody else's behalf, find the answers that come to me and share them. So it's cathartic for me first of all, and then I hope that other people will get that same aha moment from it.
Do you find when you're actually writing that your thoughts come as if by magic, automatic writing, or do you have to put some thought into each chapter or each paragraph? So the actual process of writing, is it a steady progress? Do you think about it during the day before you write? And I'll ask you first, with all of those questions in mind, how do you prepare yourself for your writing session?
Okay, well, I don't give it lots of thought beforehand. It's very much through me, not from me. So from a very spiritual point of view, it is as though it's channeled through me. I wouldn't call it automatic writing. Sometimes I will sit, I generally prepare my space or have some incense or a candle, and I will be quite centered and quite grounded. But it's not a case of me planning what I'm going to write about. I ask, okay, so what shall I write about today? And it might be that I turn over an angel card, or it might be that I open somebody else's book, or it might be that I play a piece of music, and it might be that I am just kind of trundling along through Facebook and somebody's posted a YouTube video up and I hear the lyrics of a song and that will set me off. So I have some stimulus, external stimulus, but it's no more planned than that. And then it just starts from there and runs and runs and runs until I stop.
So does your writing, does it take place on a specific time, or do you literally have a spontaneous moment?
No, I have a spontaneous moment. Some things are planned. So for example, if I think, well, I haven't done a blog for a while and I have time and I've got time in my diary, I will sit down to write. But it doesn't always work like that, because you can sit down to write and nothing comes. So I tend to prefer to just have a spontaneous moment. Or I might be driving along in the car and a song comes on the radio and all of a sudden the lyrics jump out at me and I think, right, I've got to go home and write about that. So it is more spontaneous, but there is a little bit of planning sometimes if I think, well, haven't written for a little while, I feel that I need to write, I feel that it's important that I update that, and then I will ask. But if nothing comes, then I don't write.
So do you set yourself a limit to the amount of words? Do you say, I mean, for me, I always say I want to do 1,800, 2,000 words, or do you have this spontaneous moment, write and see where it leads you to?
Exactly that. I write and see where it leads me to. And with the book, it's very short, eclectic chapters. So it's written in short bursts, not all at the same time. Other pieces of writing that I've done or that are still works in progress are much more continuous. And I will have to just kind of go spontaneously with what comes for however long that runs, and then stop and go back to it when that happens again. So I don't have any plan to say, right, I'm going to do so many thousands a day. It's not planned like that at all in my experience.
I find that very interesting, because the people that I've spoken to about writing and the purpose to their writing, I found that every single person has a different method. The next question I'd like to ask you about this process of writing is, if you like get a blockage, if you stop in the middle, do you literally call it a day, or do you stay with it for a moment or two?
I stay with it for a moment or two, but if there's still a block, generally I'll get up and either walk away from the pad and pen or walk away from the computer, go make a cup of tea, maybe go for a walk outside, and then come back to it. Because if it stopped flowing, it stopped flowing, and all the more trying to force it just seems to increase the block. It seems to, you know, what you resist persists. So if I resist the fact that I am in that state of, right, I actually need to walk away now, it just keeps going on like that. I guess the only exception to that rule on writing is if I'm doing freelance writing for an article, and then they will state to me, we want so many words, 100, so many hundred words, or so many thousand words. And I find that a little bit odd to me. I mean, I have to kind of work within their framework, but I still find that a little bit odd. But sometimes I do have to do that if I've been asked to by an editor.
Okay, so the book's finished. Do you put it to bed for a while, or do you immediately go through your first or second or third edit? Do you allow yourself to do all of your own proofreading and copying, or do you get another to do it for you?
Oh, I have to get another person to do it for me. In terms of my personality, I'm very extrovert and very creative, so I work in terms of colours. So I'm what I would call very high yellow energy, so very creative, expressive, like a butterfly mind. I've got very little introverted blue detailed, so I have to give that to somebody else, because it bores me rigid to do my own editing, do my own reading. You know, once it's written, I don't want to reread it until I'm actually just rereading it, maybe for pleasure.
Do you? I listened to you a few moments ago, and I felt that you write more than one or two books at a time, or different articles, and they can all be ongoing. And I find that absolutely fascinating. What a powerful thought to be doing that. But so the book's finished, you've got it edited, you're happy with the cover, and then you do something that's special. I've seen you market your book yourself, you put so much effort into it, and that's the reason it's so successful, well known, well thought of. Do you think it's a course that anybody can take? Do you encourage people to do this?
I do believe that everybody's got it within them, but it depends on their own personality and their own style. So, for example, somebody who is more detailed or more introverted may not find it easy to get out there and be very self-publishing. I mean, not in terms of mine is a published by a publisher. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I mean, to get out there and be self-promoting. It's not their natural style, and therefore they might need to enlist the help of somebody who's really good at that. We can't all be great at everything. That comes naturally to me. That actually kind of, you know, sharing comes very naturally to me. So it's not so much that I'm pushing myself forward. It's just an expression of me, an expression of me communicating and reaching out and sharing with other people. So I find that very easy. So for people that have a similar personality type to me, I would say, yeah, get out there, do it yourself. For people that scares the living daylights out of them, find somebody who loves doing that, because it will come across. That would be my advice.
Super. Lisa, let's get to the book itself. Now, I've read it and I love it. I genuinely do. I think it's a fabulous book. It's beautifully written, very precise. You don't have to struggle with what's being written within each page. I like it very much. What inspired you to actually put pen to paper?
Well, it's interesting. Before Get a Life Guidebook ever came about, I had been writing a more autographical piece that is still ongoing, and that must be 14 years I've been writing that. But then, you know, I'm not exactly curling my toes up yet, so maybe there's a few more chapters to come. But I found that much more difficult to do that. But when I came to writing Get a Life Guidebook, it really came out of blogging. And I had such a wonderful response to my blogs, and people were finding that they were very helpful. I also read, around about the time when I had the idea of, actually, I could turn this way, this style of how I write, into a book. I'd read Robin Sharma's, one of his books, which is in a very similar style. And I really loved it. And I thought, well, actually, you know, there's somebody who's already done it, who's done a book in this style, and it's worked very well for them. So perhaps other people would like this, you know, to collect those blog-esque type chapters together, and they could get something from it. And so that's how it was born. So it was about this short writing, blogging, and then actually bringing that together to make it into something that would be a book.
Will you write a follow-up to this book, or do you think that there's something else that you want to put out there? Is there something else that you want to tell other people? Is there something else within you that's there? Or do you think that you'll stay with Get a Life for a little bit of a while yet?
I'd love to write another book. I'd love to write several. It's making the space at the moment for me to do that. With my sort of marketing hat on, I think there could be Get a Calmer Life, Get an Abundant Life, Get a Healthy Life. There's a whole play on that sort of branding, if you like, that I could write. But whilst that is great from a marketing point of view, is that what I'm really drawn to write about? And I would say probably not at the moment, although that may come in the future. I'd love to finish off the more autobiographical one, which I have a working title for, which is From Corporate Clone to Tree Hugging Nut, A Guide to a Calmer Life. So it is a guidebook again, but it's more autobiographical, that looks at, you know, the conditioning that we go through, even though I was brought up in a kind of a very unusual family circumstance with extended family and very, very spiritual great-grandmother. And all of that I was exposed to as a small child within that, and then being conditioned into a corporate life, being a corporate clone, having to be like everybody else in a very high-powered, high-stress corporate job, and then how you make that transition into being the tree-hugging nut that I am today, and how much more joy that brings me. So I would really like to complete that at some point, because I think there must be lots and lots of people. I speak to lots of people. I have lots of clients that are trying to make that jump from something they've found themselves caught up in terms of their work and their life, and it's not their song sheet, it's somebody else's. And they would actually truly like to, I don't know, be a fine artist, or, you know, be a writer, or be a, you know, a spiritual healer, or all sorts of different things that they would rather do, but are too afraid to take that leap of faith. So I think that would be not only cathartic to me, but also be really helpful to other people who are trying to make that transition. So there's that. What else? There's probably lots of things I'd like to write about, but we'll probably do that more in either blogs or articles, shorter topics that I would like to share with people. But in terms of books, I've got a title for another book that I was given intuitively. I have no clue what the content is, but the title is Heart Song, and I don't know. I was given it, so I'll work with that. I'll work with that title and see what comes, but it's not for now, I don't think.
And I'm going to put you on the line here. I'm going to make it a bit difficult. If somebody wanted to write a book, they know absolutely nothing about it, in just a few words, before we finish this wonderful interview, guide them to where they should start. Give them your take, literally, on how to begin their own book.
Okay. Something springs to mind, a book that was recommended to me many years ago, which was The Artist's Way. Great way, doing morning pages, capturing your thoughts every day. So that would be a great way to start. I would say maybe start with blogging. You know, getting into that place of that absolute creativity and see what comes. The more traditionalists would probably say you have to start with a structure and a beginning, a middle and an end, and what's the point you're trying to get across. I don't work like that myself personally. So I would say, you know, if you're drawn to reading something that will help you do that, I've got another one which is called Paint the Town Red, which again is about drawing out that creativity in order to write, or reading something like The Artist's Way, or just start blogging. Start from where you are. Start keeping a journal. Whatever works for the individual, but start by keeping it on the inside. You're denying the world your wonder. You know, nobody can ever truly know another person, and the closest way you can get to actually sharing who you are and leaving that legacy for the world is to get it out and get it onto paper.
Thanks, Lisa. That's absolutely brilliant, and it's so kind of you to spend some time with me at Lincoln this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As you realise, it was a very noisy venue. However, I am sure you will have found some useful ideas on writing techniques by listening to this interview. It's always enlightening to listen to someone who has achieved success in their chosen path of life, and so I say thank you to Lisa Whitehead. I am Ian Timothy. You can find me at iantimothy.com and blog iantimothy.com. Thank you for listening.